Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is Attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben. 8150 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. As you look outside your window, this is the perfect time to remember that temperature control is definitely one of the most valuable resources one could have. And if you agree with that sentiment, like I know you do, then DFH Company is the company for you. Simply dial 968-6222 or look them up online at dfhcompany.com. Make sure you look into the Mitsubishi Mini Split, like the one we use at the 93.9 Studios, for your hard to heat and hard to cool room in your home. Again, 968-6222, or you can look them up online at dfhcompany.com. Also, do we have sound? Is okay, this is a sound sheet that we will definitely get to. Okay, so here's the thing, y'all. I do want to get into nerdy basketball talk. I want to open the phone lines back up. 8150-939 is the number. Before I do that, I want to let people know kind of the mentality that I have moving forward. And this is kind of, it's not a rebuttal, but the conversation about, you know, about tournament. I can't do tournament resume, because the more we think we know about the net, the more we found out last year that the weight changes. And it's not just the net weight. It's not just what we knew before. We don't know how cancellations are being factored in. We don't know how, transfers and, teams that get hot late, like all these phrases that we have been using for all these years. It's like either they're going to be our Bible, or they're going to be what I'm saying is either they're going to be gospel, or they're going to be just, just things of the past. This is why I say this. It happens in football. So I want people to know that I'm consistent in the way I look at the way sports narratives are made. When people talk about they beat this ranked team and that ranked team, if we're going to use the net, we might as well eliminate the talk of rankings. Why is that? It's because every year, we see going into the season, okay, Michigan's supposed to be good, Penn State's supposed to be good, Wisconsin's supposed to be good, and all on the TV, all we get is Michigan, Penn State, Wisconsin, Ohio State, and the sleeper Iowa. And out of the top 16 teams in football, I'll see 7 Big Ten teams. And those Big Ten teams, I watch them lose out of conference games to regular teams. And then I watch them get back in conference. And Penn State, number 11 Penn State beats number 5 Michigan. Michigan drops to 6, and Penn State jumps up to 7. Nobody ever jump, like, if when they decide that the rankings are this at the beginning of the year, oh, well, no, that's just the good teams beating up on the good teams, so nobody moves a rank. And I'm like, so you literally decided. The reason they stopped doing the college football rankings early in the year is because they knew the weight of what you thought going into the season was going to basically determine how, you know, any who has the chances to be in the tournament at the end of the year or in the college football playoffs at the end of the year, which it shouldn't be that way. Either you're going to use a mechanical analytic. Either you're going to use an analytic to decide who's in the tournament, but of course we won't do that because that'll take away all the drama to the tournament. Or I mean, maybe it will, maybe it won't. But if you're going to do that, then either we're going to talk about sports like there's rankings involved, or we're going to say, okay, the net is the analytical thing we're going to use as the NCAA, so everybody can just look up their scores, look up their settings, and just decide, okay, this is going to put me in the tournament and this is not going to put me in the tournament. I've seen it happen with the narrative, and that narrative, it'll never go away. If you start the season, you know, and your schedule says, well, the net, the highest you can get in the net is here. It's like, okay, well, so you're basically saying no matter how good the team looks, no matter how what they accomplish, who they beat, they don't have the analytical net schedule to be a championship team, you know, or to halfway be in the tournament. So this team, no matter what you see, if they lose two games to two bad teams and whoever they beat, it's just like you don't have a chance. So the point I'm making with that entire conversation is either rankings matter or they don't. Either the net is the analytical, is it the tool or is it the gospel, or we have to admit that we don't know and we just have to wait for the tournament selection committee and Mitch Barnhart to decide if he can get away with leaving us out the tournament or not. Will we have a resume that will make him lose his job if he tries to hold us out of the tournament? So
I do think that's interesting. All that sounded, that whole analysis, which I agree with, sounds very much like college football. Like the whole idea of, well, the hand you've been dealt makes it so that it's impossible for you to get into anything. So just have fun out there. I was just saying, like, yeah, I mean, it's just, it feels that way, and we're in an unfamiliar territory here in Louisville because normally the ACC is pretty good. So it was something that never really had to be worrisome. But now it was like, holy crap, we needed every single one of those non-con games because
are we saying that with Kay and Hubert and Mac and these coaches that came to the ACC, are we saying that these coaches that are like, we can't be the best conference by the end of the year? Have we just decided, like, see, if I was in front of Jay Billis, you know, yesterday, I would say, okay, so if you've decided that the ACC is just bad this year, then what are we even playing for? Okay, so we've already decided that the ACC is a four bid team because of the schedule they had at the beginning of the year. You know what I'm saying? And if you don't win your one, two chances, then okay. You see what I'm saying? It's almost like analytically, most of the season's almost predestined. Unless you say the tournament selection committee is a skillful group that uses their eye test, but we don't know. We don't know what years do they use the eye test. What year do they say, okay, Kenyon Martin's injury factored in and Coach Mack's suspension factored in. They're playing the best basketball in the conference late season. You know, like, if you're not going to get any of that, if we're not going to have any kind of identifiable template, then we're just under the illusion that the net matters and that, you know, the strength of schedule matters. We're under an illusion that anything matters other than generally where you are and generally where the tournament selection committee wants to push. And again, I'm not going to go on a detailed, you know, a detailed attack on the process. I'm just saying, as a fan of the sport, as a spectator, as a person who has played the game and seen, you know, the way tournament selections have been done over the years, it's almost like the second time I use it, the exercise of futility to sit there and say, well, if we lose one more game, you know, we're not in the tournament. Like, you literally could be playing the best basketball and people know, okay, this team is – okay, put it this way. Louisville's playing some awesome basketball late in the season. So you know they're a tournament team, but their resume says they're a 10-11 seed, right? Do you know how crazy somebody's going to go if you stick a Louisville 11 in against a, you know, against a Kentucky high seed or something? Like, the world's going to go crazy.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, I'm just pointing out the fact that we don't have enough concrete data on how they choose the tournament to sit around and panic the entire season. So, with that being said, I'm going to enjoy my season and I'm going to listen. But, I mean, it's not like I'm punting on the pressure of, hey, you got to get in this tournament. You got to play some good basketball. But you understand what I'm saying? It's like, I'm not going to let my anxiety level be on a 10 the whole time, because I want to see Duke win. I want to see Duke get busted. They're, you know, teams are going to lose. Teams are going to win. It's going to be with name, image, and transfer rules, rankings. Either the rankings aren't going to matter, or the perception of how good a conference is not going to matter. And then we're just going to start saying, okay, this is the Wizard of Oz. The people behind the curtain are going to make all the decisions. And just hope you're in the good graces, and you move the needle enough to be invited outside of the 32 conference winners. So,
man, I'm just looking at the schedule right now. Because I made the relation to college football. It's a little different because, you know, college football, if you lose more than once, you're basically out. But
if you're some teams.
Yeah, if you're some teams, true.
Some teams lose twice, but you know what they say? Georgia and Alabama just beat up on each other, but they're still the best teams, which can exactly be true, or it might not be true, but they get – what I'm saying is they get the automatic pass.
Well, I'm looking at it, and you got to think that Coach K's final year – I don't really buy into that. I do think that they're pretty good. I do think that might be fueling them to be so good. But they're number two right now. They don't play a ranked team right now the rest of the schedule. Duke almost needs to be like the rainbow fish. Did you ever read that book?
Absolutely not.
Well, the rainbow fish, it's a story about a fish that is the prettiest fish in like the sea and has a million different shiny little like scales. But he's kind of a douche about it, and he realizes he doesn't have any friends. And that they kind of resent him for being so such a jerk. And one little fish needs like a sparkly scale to, like, I don't know, finish an adventure or get a girlfriend or something. I have no idea. And the fish doesn't give it to him. And then he realizes that he's being a jerk and selfish. So instead, he gives away all of his shiny scales to all the fish in the sea so that everyone's a little bit beautiful instead of him just being the most beautiful one and being lonely and whatnot. So that's what Duke needs to be right now. They need to not lose enough to be, not ranked and irrelevant, but they need to get knocked off a few times so that maybe a few of these teams could then get ranked. It would sort of be like a trickle-down effect.
Listen, 100% right. Just say Louisville beats Duke, Carolina beats Duke, Virginia Tech beats Duke, and one other school beats Duke in the conference play, right? Four or five losses in conference, and everybody's saying, but we beat Duke. And you know what nobody's going to say? Well, Duke's overrated. Are you going to get that national, the whole ACC sucks. Even Duke lost four times in the conference. Or are you going to get the bump like there's some good teams in the conference that beat Duke?
Well, I mean, hopefully it'll be one of those things where a win over Duke might you know, boost somebody, into the top 25, as a fringe. Again. And then if they lose, then the team that beats them could say, well, we beat a top 25 team. And then the trickle-down effect continues.
That's what I'm saying. It's the classic half empty. Listen, but it's me saying this for years. Yeah, everybody sucks after we bust them. Yeah, you know, look. Oh, that team was overrated. That's why Louisville beat them.
But that's why it's a very fine balancing act. The Duke loses five conference games to lowly teams, then and they drop to 20th or fringe top 25. Then it's almost going to be like, all right.
And there's a lot of season left too. Like, who knows? Like, we could hit a crappy wall, or Coach Mack could decide that he's going to take advantage of Sidney Curry and Roosevelt Wheeler and Jarrett West and L. Ellis, and we're gonna start dominating. So, come on, Coach, get it together.
Okay. Are there any other? I'm just racking my brain. Are there any other, like, non-con marquee matchups that anyone's gonna be playing?
Outside of a makeup game.
Yeah, that's what Kentucky has the, Big 12 thing with, like, Kansas and everything. Is there anything like that going on for any of these other teams? I don't know off the top of my head, but I'm just thinking of, are there any alternative ways for someone to bolster there?
It's just everybody in conference. So whatever impression your conference is, it's like, okay, you're stuck there. And here's the thing. Are y'all going to factor good basketball? Now, I will say this. I don't know how much weight aesthetics is, but we are not high in the category of aesthetics. And by the way, speaking of aesthetics, Roosevelt Wheeler and Sidney Curry, I need them on my court. Just look, what do we call it? The all bus team? I need them on my court getting substituted in a couple times just to show how deep we look. Because it looks different when you can bring those guys off the bench and put in some extra work. Okay, so game last night, Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was much tougher than I thought seeing them in person, like I said. People, I talked about it a little bit last night. It's a point that I have to reiterate this morning. I know, look, 5 wins. Okay, they're 5-4. Everybody's going to tell you they suck, they're trash, they're garbage. 4 games. They lost by 1 point. So maybe they're a tough team with a developing closer. And they just got somebody back for our game. Think about it. They got, I think, the point guard that was wearing the mask, I believe, actually. Look, and I put wearing the mask in air quotes. But did you see that, Nikki? By the way, speaking of a mask.
Yeah.
Did you see that thing go from face to below the nose to below the lips to below the chin? And I'm like, listen. And of course, I'm like, okay. It's like, I'm not a snitch. But I'm like, at some point, do you go to the ref and say, this would be the worst thing in the world. Ref, let him take off his mask.
Yeah, I mean,
ref, if you're gonna do that, let him take his mask off.
I mean, who are we fooling at this point? Like, but yeah, you don't want to narc on him and then him get in trouble. Like, there was a team that narked on our team for not having earpieces one time, and it was like, are you serious? We're blowing your doors off by 6, and you're gonna play the earpiece rule? Like, and so half our defensemen had to leave and find makeshift earpieces to put back in their helmet and come out. And it was like, you're not doing that for player safety. Yeah, you're doing that to be a douche.
I remember Chris Paul did that, a guy's shirt went tucked in or something, and he told a ref. And I think the kid had to go out or just do something. But I'm like, I probably would have went. Listen, I'm sorry, y'all. I know this might make me sound like a horrible person. But if I was on that court with that kid, I would have been like, hey, bro, do you know how stupid you look with that mask around your chin? Take that thing off your face and play some basketball. I would have said it right to him. And he would either laughed and said, yeah, I know, bro. Or he'd have said, bleep you, Marcus. But either way, I would have made him think about that mask for the rest of the game. Just have it on his mind. Listen, every time he shot, I'd be yelling, chin mask. chin mask.
I mean, it's an automatic chirp. I mean, built in.
Yeah, yeah. Just I would do something because I'm going to get you thinking about that mask either because you're irritating me with it on. So just take it off or I'm going to keep on talking about it for the rest of the game. So anyway, that part. Okay, back to the game. They just got a kid back. They got four losses by 1 point. When I saw the game, I'm like, oh, I see why all their games are close. They lead the country in free throw shots attempted, which means they're getting to the basket. So all that factored in, long, athletic, can go zone. Like I said, big guy with some scoring around the basket. I was impressed with that Pittsburgh basketball team. And listen, Nikki, another one. Listen, another one you can mark for the tape. Like when I told everybody before the season started that L. Ellis was going to be a first-team all-conference defender. No, I'm sorry, Jared West.
I was going to say, I was like, wait a minute.
Jared West would be a first-team all-conference defender. Watch this Pittsburgh team. Watch them late in the year. They are going to ruin. They are going to ruin people's season. I could just tell by the way they talk to each other. So you got that. And you know what else you got? You think they forgot about what Malik did? Nikki, imagine if you were at a school, right? If you were, okay, Nikki's hockey team is playing Marist, right? And y'all are both at the top of the conference. And Marist has
a whole lot of assumptions here.
Okay, Marist is having a blackout and their homecoming and all this, right? And everybody in the whole arena has these hockey helmets on, right? And they bring out all the stops, Nikki, right? And you go into their house and you beat them, right? And after you beat them, somebody throws one of them hockey helmets onto the ice, right? And Nikki, you pick up the hockey helmet and you wear it on your head, like tilted to the side.
To say that's going on my wall as a trophy.
Yes, yes. And imagine their coach coming up to you and saying, take our GD hat off. And you looking at him and you laughing and you leaving it right on your head. And look, and skating past them and skating to y'all locker room and celebrating that you just shut up this raucous crowd. Y'all realize that happened about 2 years ago, right? Where Malik Williams took their headband that they threw at him and put it on his head and wore it like a crown. He wore it like a crown. Like
jaunty and prankish-ish to the side,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, and he went through. Listen, he didn't wear it walking off the court, Nikki. He wore it in the handshake line. Nikki, do you know how bad they hate him for that? Do you know how the coach yelled at him? The same coach who I was dunking on 20 years ago was yelling at Malik Williams for putting that headband on. Jeff Cable. Listen, yes, you was in Louisville getting dunked on, bro. Like, don't worry about it. But point being, he knows the game. Nikki. You talk about, and keep it, and another thing I add in, when you look at the standings, Louisville was number one in the standings headed into this game. So that means when they have that little board in their locker room that has conference standings, you know what Pittsburgh was saying? We got our shot, like you and I talked about, we got our shot at the number one team in the ACC tonight. And I hate Malik. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And we're getting another player back. You know? And, you know, like, they had every reason to give us their A game when you're at number one in the ACC. And all these things are things people don't factor in. And can you imagine how their confidence went up when they had Malik on the bench 2 minutes into the game? And yeah. and of course, in hindsight, I gotta agree with Doc, but you know, like any coach would have a problem leaving Malik on the bench, you know, when you're down five, you know, or something like. I mean, even though we weren't down five, but you get the point. You know, the game's close. The guy's working us in the middle. You know, Malik is the only guy you know is experienced to stopping a a big man. Like all those factors were going into play, and I'm like, that's a damn tough win that y'all pulled out. I am absolutely proud of y'all. You know what I mean?
I mean, it was, yeah. I mean, you, maybe the, what is it, Marcus, like a recency bias or something like that? But we just saw, I mean, now granted, Spear Wheeler, Ty Washington went down with injuries and neck injury, you know, not something to take lightly. Mm-hmm. But day to day, you know, good news for him. But, I mean, we just saw what happened with UK. I mean, they struggled. Now granted, LSU, ranked team on the road and everything. There, like I said, a lot of different factors, but their bread and butter is one of them is Oscar Tshiebwe. And when right. he got put in foul trouble, we saw what happened.
And Malik has been playing the best basketball for us that he's played in his career.
Right.
So he's been our guy.
Yeah. So I definitely, that definitely was a little added hurdle. Now go into like the second half, and I don't know. I just kind of want to get your thoughts on. And we have Lawrence on the line, too. I just realized, by the way, I've been typing the names into the call screen, and you're not here. So I don't know why I've been doing that. It's just force of habit, I guess. But, yeah, Lawrence can weigh in. But, I mean, is that going to be sort of like an extra added piece that you can rely on, or is it still just based on matchups? It was something they talked about post-game. He had a chat with Mac and with Coach Mac and everything, and gave him a little bit of confidence. But is that still just going to be like to relate it to baseball? Is he going to be like a left-handed specialist that comes out of the bullpen? That it depends on the situation that the Cards are going to be able to get some good quality production out of him, or do you think he'll become more consistent so that that's something they can go to in conference play more often?
Okay, you know what? The three guard lineup with either West, Ellis, and Locke, or West, Ellis, and Faulkner. We know that we may be able to go cross a big man, Ellis, West, and have a great balance of shooting, patience with the ball, and an attacker. So yeah, at the very least, we have a weapon that Coach Mack is going to be confident in. And here's the thing. Coach Mack said this in the press conference, and we're going to have his post-game press conference at the end of the show. Coach Mack said he had a talk with them, and that talk was a challenge. It wasn't a pat on the bottom thing. It was, this can go one way or the other for you. You know what I'm saying? This is what we think you can do. This is what we need you to do. But if you go down the other road and try to be this person, you won't last. So it sounded like it was a challenging conversation. We need the good Ellis all the time. And then Max said the way he took it, the way Ellis took the criticism or took the conversation, he took the positive side of it. The fact that you tell me you need me makes me feel, better. Or you can listen to the part where, like if a coach said, hey, either I can make you great or you can be a bum here and you can be working up the street. And some kids will call home and say, Mom, he said, if I don't make it here, I'm going to be working up the street at Kohl's. You know what I'm saying? But he won't tell his, if the kid's complaining, he won't tell his mom how the coach said, no, he said he needs me, but he needs me to play well. It's like, which part of that story are you going to take? And for Ellis to take the good side of it and to listen to Coach Mack say, I don't want to get it wrong to who asked the question in the press conference, but they said, is there something that you saw in L. Ellis that he was going to be, like his skill set for this game? Coach Mack said he had a bounce to himself today. He said in shoot around he had an extra bounce. He just looked like he was, you know, ready to go. So that call was Coach Mack saying that kid got some swag today. You know what I'm saying? After our conversation, the fact that he said, we need you. We're going to need you. We need you now to be a playmaker. And he went out. They want me to fall. Off of me top. They want me to drop. They want me to stop. They want me to go. Did you do that on purpose?
Hey, we have a surprise guest in studio. He came by looking for you, Marcus. It was a little sad that he didn't see you. Hey, Reese.
Reese, what's good?
Am I'm in your chair right now.
Listen, it's comfortable, ain't it?
I'm in your chair looking for you, but I figured you was a little scared of the snow. You want to come out. I'm from Wisconsin, so I forgive you.
Man,
you know, I know I'm a little tough. You know, I got a little more skill in the snow.
Reese, I'm out in the county, man. They don't take care of these roads the same way.
No.
Okay, Reese, real quick, give me just your general, what you thought about the game, man.
I mean, I heard you talking about Ellis. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy for him that he performed the way he did. The biggest thing what I saw, I heard you say what Coach Mack said too. He definitely had a bounce to his step, but even on the bench, he was just had a different mindset. He was really into the game, bought into everything as a teammate. So he was great all the way around that night.
Is that sustainable energy? Nikki was kind of asking that question. Is that something we as a fan base can start expecting? You know, or saying okay. We know we're gonna get that, or is he still kind of in the inconsistent? Like, do you think he's turned the corner a bit?
I think so. I think whatever Coach Mack said to him, you know, most of these kids now, young people now, they definitely need that encouragement again. The fact that he knows that, like you said, that Coach Mack said we need him, and mm-hmm. and obviously we do. We need that, you know, type of playmaking ability on the floor as much as possible, but. I definitely think we can count on him having that positive attitude and that swagger steps on the floor from now on.
Who else on the team have you noticed kind of turning the corner? Because, you know, Coach Mack, it seems like every different games, different guys get a lot of opportunities. But some guys, you know, just seem a little more, like I said, who else has the bounce, like they're, you know, trying to crack the lineup, just really has, like, brings that energy just kind of in your eyes in the general?
I think a few guys, obviously. Obviously, the big fella Malik has been playing unbelievable defense. And obviously, offense as well. But he's been unbelievable all over the floor. I think Mason was really getting there before the COVID protocol. He's definitely getting more comfortable on the floor, finding his way, when to make plays, when to be aggressive. And his defense has gotten a lot better. So, for sure, Mace. But I even like what the guys, you know, even Jared, he's been doing. He's won a few games on defensive end for us, which is tough to do. So everybody's getting more confident, especially as we keep winning.
Listen, Florida State coming up. What do you think we need to do to don't give away any game plans. Don't give me any practice game plans. Just tell me what does Reese Gaines think we need to bring with us to Florida State to get a win?
To be honest, I don't watch as much game film, so I'm still behind. I got to watch this game when I get to the office, and I've only watched like 5 minutes into Florida State. I know they're athletic. They're long. They switch a lot. They press. I think what happened last night is great for us. We're probably in situations, you know, to make plays. Mm. And I think if we make plays, be aggressive, you know, we should be okay.
All right, Reese, man. I'm sorry I missed you, man. I'm out of the house, though.
Scared of the snow. I can't believe you, man.
All right, man. Get out of there.
All right, man. I like your chair, though.
No doubt. Listen, I tell you what. We'll take a quick commercial break. When we come back, a few closing thoughts, hot grades, and we'll try to get that. We'll try to squeeze that press conference in at the end of the show if we can. Last commercial break. Middays with Marcus Maben on 93.9 The Ville.
It's the new year. That means change is here. But one thing that shouldn't change is who you call for all your home buying and selling needs. Call Josh Jarbo. Josh is a licensed realtor and owner of RE/MAX Alliance. And in 2022, he wants to make your home buying or selling process as efficient as possible by offering a guaranteed sell program and instant offers on commercial listings. And if that wasn't enough, up to a $5,000 seller's credit by mentioning you heard it right here on 93.9 The Ville. So don't wait any longer. Contact Josh Jarbo at 502-216-7590 or joshjarbo@remax.net.
Discover fresh.
Girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. I got the rap patrol on the patrol. Foes that want to make sure my clothes. Rap critics to save money, cash. I'm from the hood, stupid. What type of facts are those? If you grew up with hoes and you're zapped the toes, you celebrate the minute you was having dough. I'm like, critics, you can kiss my whole ass. If you don't like my lyrics, you can press fast forward. Got beef with radio if I don't play they show. They don't play my hits, well, I don't give a so. Rap Max try and use my black and so advertise.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Midday for Mark Smith. 8150-939 is the station. So, Nikki, here's the problem. I'm going to lecture you, and I'm going to lecture you as the eldest child. Listen.
What'd I do?
No, it's not what you've done. It's something you're going to have to do.
By the way, you got echoey, man. Sorry.
No, that's not a fascinating thing.
No. Are you kidding me?
But here's the problem, Nikki. You're going to have to get Dad back in the studio. Home.
Oh, yeah. And, no, it's like a drug.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
We have the technology, you know.
Yes. Yeah. And here's the thing. I hate it. I hate it. And I love that I hate it. But it scares me. Every commercial break, it scares me. Because during a commercial break, like all the things that I have to do when I get home, like all the little things you got to do, I can do them during breaks, right? And just adding the vegetables into my pot roast during a cook, it's just like one of the most convenient things you've ever seen in your life. And I'm like, that's why Pops ain't coming back in this.
No, I mean, absolutely. I mean, just during the commercial break, you can, yeah, do a little cooking. Hell, you can make a phone call. You could, you know, pay a bill. You could feed the dog. You can, I mean, use your bathroom, which is just, I mean, there's always, I mean, that's,
right.
We have a very, despite the stories that people say about me using it, we have a very nice, clean bathroom here. But nothing beats the home bathroom. Nothing.
Right. So yeah, so you could like you could do everything, Nikki, everything, and I'm just like running the vacuum. So by the time I'm usually getting home, it's a or whatever, and it's, you know, like I said, I got my stuff to do, and I'm just like, this is awesome. I'm like, Dad, you're gonna have to get out that house for and come do this show at the studio, or you'll just fall in love with home life. So that's a fact. Okay, Nikki. Wait a minute, what song is that?
This is Wings, Live and Let Die, 8-bit remix, so I don't think we get sued.
Boom!
But one reason to come into work would be the fact that Adam and his staff, shout out to them, thank you guys, they dropped off Wing Zone Catering to the ESPN Louisville Studios today, and they have you covered for all the games this weekend. Try the ESPN Louisville special, 10 boneless wings, wedges, and a drink for just $9.39, named after our radio station. Just mention ESPN Louisville. It's good 7 days a week, every day that ends in Y. Order online, wingzone.com. Two Louisville locations, Hikes Point and the Poplar Level Road location at Quarry Center. I cannot wait. Gonna get me. I hope they have some of the. I like to mix the sweet and spicy ones. I'm like two parts sweet, one part spicy.
Yeah. I grab the hot ones and the blue cheese.
I gotta stay away from the wedges though, man. I don't eat them, and it's not because they're not good. It's the fact that they are good. And what I'll do is throughout the day, I'll get one of the blue cheese ranch, or it depends on my mood. But I'll get one of the the dipping sauces that wasn't used, and I'll just start, double fisting those potato wedges into that, and I'll snack on it. Potato wedges are a goldfish food for me, Marcus, and I told you what goldfish foods are. The ones that I will eat until they're all gone, or I've literally died. So I never have the potato wedges anymore, and just because I can't trust myself. I can't do it.
You know, recently, I babysitted a fish, right?
Okay.
I babysat a fish. His name is Eddie, right?
Aw, it's kind of cute.
And Eddie and I, you know, had an interesting relationship. Eddie when he wasn't moving, he was fine not moving, but I was uncomfortable with Eddie not moving because, Eddie, you can't die on my watch, bro.
Man, what is right? with you in watching animals, man? I mean, you almost lost Tony's snake. Like, remind me never to, like, ask you to watch, like, you know, feed the dog or something like that.
Listen,
like, no
Eddie
offense.
Listen, Eddie was never in trouble. But when you say goldfish food, I just remember the warning, like, oh, don't okay. overfeed him. Like, don't overfeed. This is only this much food. And do it just what? And listen, when that fish wasn't moving around, I just knew it was dead. And it's just there floating and floating. And I almost want to tap the glass, but I don't want to scare him. But I'm just like, that was the that was the most nerve-wracking babysitting job. And listen, the life expectancy of Eddie wasn't that great anyway,
right?
To begin with, but it was the most pressure-filled babysitting job I've ever had. But
dude, I'm telling you, we had an aquarium when I was growing up. Fish are savages, man. I mean,
when we're talking about when the food and they start snapping the top of the water.
not only that, man. There were many a times that we went to the fish tank, the pet store, and got a new batch. And you brought those home, and you know it's like, yo, what happened to the little silver one, man?
Yeah.
Did he die? I don't, dude. It's like the cornbread mafia, man. I have no idea where the hell the body is. It's gone. Mm. It's gone. They ate the silver one.
I know I've told this before. My boy Rashad in college, he had a bunch of piranhas, right? And they were different kind of piranhas. And he would put them in there. And it was one of them, you know, those kind of like hexagonal fish tanks that are kind of more tall than wide, not square. It was kind of like one of those circular fish tanks, right?
Right.
Nikki, when he would introduce new piranhas or new fish to this aquarium, to watch them determine the hierarchy of the fish, like it was like teams, like the whatever the black piranhas were called, like they were and then you had the red devil piranhas, you know what I'm saying? And some of the
like
small
fish gangs.
Yes, no, that's what it was. But here's the thing. It was a total jailhouse community because it was like the punk fish had to sleep on the top bunk. You know what I'm saying? And the hard savage fish, they were all the ones that got to be at the bottom. But when some new food came in, the ones in the bottom would go right up to the top. You know what I'm saying? And just kind of clear out everybody. Then they would go back down to the bottom. And then sometimes you would wake up and be like, oh, somebody caught a body last night. You know what I'm saying? But we actually like you almost like look forward to, you know, when he would introduce it. Like, I mean, not that you were encouraging a fight, but you could just see how they were kind of like, and a lot of times they would just like kick each other, kind of, you know, nip at a fin or something, just to like say, hey, this is my territory. But it was like just to watch them establish the hierarchy. And the red devil ones, they were like the smallest ones, but they had protruding teeth.
Oh, so, okay. So they had the best shivs.
Yeah. Right. So they kind of like dominated the bottom. And then what happened? What happened to the fish tank, Nikki? Rashad introduced something called a snakehead fish.
Oh, hell.
He tore everybody up.
Oh, really? I thought he was going to get mauled by all the other ones.
No. No, he was just too big.
Oh,
he was just too big. And listen,
what's that movie with Michael J. White or whatever? You know, he gets to prison and just whoops everyone's ass. That's basically what this one was.
Yeah, listen, it was. Listen, I hit up Rashad. I said, what's going on with the fish? He said, oh, dude, it's a wrap. And I was like, what you mean it's a wrap? He's like, you know that snakehead. I said, yeah, what's up? I was like, he got murked, right? Because that was the phrase we always use. He's like, he got murked. He's like, murked everybody. I said, what? He said, man, I woke up, man. It wasn't no fishing. So, yeah.
That's the one thing I feel so bad about fish or anything is there's no place to hide. I mean, right? Like, you know, if your cat and your dog get into it, your cat can run away, and like, you know, even if they're stuck in the same room, they can run behind the couch.
In the fish tank,
it's like I got this little diver guy I can maybe hide behind, and then maybe I could stab the snake head with my protruding teeth. But besides that,
You got to come out and eat eventually.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so like even if you had those little corals that you can hide in for, listen, you can hide in for an hour, but eventually I got to come out and get some food and hope he's full. But yeah,
I'm telling you, man, fish savage.
His whole fish world just got wiped out like overnight. It's worse. Okay, we won't do the full listing of the grades. I'll just kind of go kind of raw, give guys the grades I thought, you know, were appropriate and what stood out. I'll give the Malik. I was gonna give Malik an incomplete, but I want to give Malik a B. Okay. Think about this. Malik barely played, and I'm giving him a B. You know why? Because he has some attitude. I'm retroactively giving Malik a B for putting that bandana on his head in Pittsburgh. just listen. And whatever he was still saying, I know Malik going to want that smoke next game. So I'm giving him a retroactive B. I'm giving him an incomplete B. Like he has a B, but he has to do a makeup assignment to make the grade official.
Okay, all right, that's fair. That's fair.
That's what I'll do with Malik. He has a standing B right now until he completes the rest of his assignment. And the rest of his assignment is, boy, you got about 9-10 days. You go get hold of Pittsburgh for us. You should be the most motivated person. So Malik gets a B. Jared West. And his defense, again, you might not have a lot of steals. You kept everybody uncomfortable, stopped people from getting in their offense. Jared, man, I'm gonna give you an A minus. Give you an A minus. I saw that pass. Listen, Jared threw that pass to Sidney Curry. Sidney screwed it up, but talk to him. This was the first time I seen Jared get mad on a pass when Sidney did not roll to the basket. And Jared, like, he tried to have some confidence in Sidney, and Sidney didn't cut. I know that, like I said, to see that emotion at Jared West, I'm like, okay, he's turning the corner. He's barking. There's one other problem. There's another problem that, Nikki, I just want to talk to you about it. This is going to totally derail me from grades. Sam, C++, B-ish. Sidney Curry, outside of that play, I'll give you a B++. L. Ellis, you get a B+. You get a B+. Mason, took care of the ball. Mason, get around those screens. Get around those screens. B. You get a solid B, Mason, because you need to get around those screens with some authority. Okay, the Matt Cross situation. L. Ellis is going to have to start looking for Matt Cross. He misses Matt Cross way too much. Matt Cross is starting to get mad at L. Ellis. I see a little something. Coach needs to make sure Ellis looks for Cross. Because the way L. Ellis attacks, it's going to leave Matt Cross open a lot. This is something I noticed. Y'all can go back and look at the video. See what I'm talking about. I got so nerdy at the end of the show. Okay, Nikki, enjoy yourself. Tell Dad he needs to get back into the studio because home life is way too fun.
I say, man. I mean, you know, I always like seeing both you guys smiling faces, but more Wing Zone for me. That's what I'm saying.
Reese, sorry I missed you in the studio, bro. As always, 8150-939 is the number. 3831-939 is the text line. YouTube channel made for the Bill. Middays with Marcus Maven on 939 The Bill.
It's the new year. That means change is here. But one thing that shouldn't change is who you call for all your home buying and selling needs. Call Josh Jarbo. Josh is a licensed realtor and owner of RE/MAX Alliance. And in 2022, he wants to make your home buying or selling process as efficient as possible. by offering a guaranteed sale program and instant offers on commercial listings. And if that wasn't enough, up to a $5,000 seller's credit by mentioning you heard it right here on 93.9 The Ville. So don't wait any longer. Contact Josh Jarboe at 502-216-7590 or joshjarboe at remax.net.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.